But let me move over to my opening monologue, The Right Side Way. And this is going to tie right into that topic I had on the Dippers a minute ago about crushing Britain. But let me start by saying this. I remember once sitting in a chow hall on my FOB in Baghdad, 2004, on a small battalion FOB in central Baghdad during some incredibly difficult times. But we had also been achieving some great successes. And there was a TV that hung up in the corner, had a satellite dish outside. It was tuned in to CNN International. And it began reporting on our area of operations. So several of us leaned in to hear what they were saying. And it didn't match anything we knew to be the truth on the ground. I looked at the guy next to me and I said, "Are they sure they're talking about the same place?" But look, it's no different now. Maybe worse. I'm watching the news like many of you, and I'm bothered by the fact that I can tell when things are happening out there, but I can't find stories on them. Why is that? In this day of electronic information mediums and 24/7 news cycles, there should be no lack of information on virtually anything. And yet this morning I was resourcing the show and decided to do a dipper on the government of Great Britain, a place that I've lived and where my own life was changed, and the government of Great Britain right now is cracking down on its citizens like you've never seen. Not for crimes, by the way, but because of their thoughts and opinions. But good luck trying to find a story on it. It's out there. But in terms of actual news, the civil unrest and the Orwellian government actions against law-abiding citizens is just hiding in plain sight. You know it's there, but you can't see it. I can couple that with the information that we learned recently about big tech and its willingness to decide for you what is and is not considered information, misinformation, disinformation. And by merely altering its algorithms, the giant of Google can decide what will and will not be able to be searched. And voila! The world can remain dark on an issue. Okay, so we've all heard about the epic novel by George Orwell, 1984. It's a part of pop culture now. One of those writings which has now become bigger than, you know, the book itself. There are nearly several, probably a half a dozen cliched phrases that we use every day that many people don't even realize came from the impactful novel 1984. The funny thing is, the book was written in 1949. At a time when the year 1984 seemed like the distant future, but we're now over 70 years past its publication, nearly 40 years past the date for which it was titled. But we're living in an age when the matters that were contemplated in the book don't seem that far away now. All of a sudden, Orwell's writings seem very prescient. And the phraseology from 1984 is embedded in our daily lexicon. It's not uncommon for somebody to say something like, "Big government is Orwellian," or that "Big Brother is watching you," or to claim the thought police are afoot. But what about the concepts themselves? Not just the titles, but the actual concepts. About changing the way people are allowed to think, telling them what they're allowed to say, giving them clarity, government-inspired clarity, as to what is considered right and wrong. So in the novel 1984, the thought police are the secret police of the superstate that rules this dystopian world. The job of the thought police is to discover and to punish thought crime, personal and political thoughts unapproved by the regime. The thought police use criminal psychology and omnipresent surveillance via informers and telescreens and cameras and microphones to monitor the citizens and arrest all of those who committed thought crime in challenge to the status quo authority of the party and the regime of Big Brother. Sound far-fetched? Not really. Fiction? No. I mean, you know what they say, it is fiction, but sometimes reality is stranger than fiction. Sometimes fiction is also based in reality. Just a couple of years ago, don't forget this, just a couple of years ago, in a congressional hearing right here in the United States, Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas announced the creation of his new DHS Disinformation Governance Board. Remember that? What? Yeah. According to a story on Fox News, Mayorkas said a disinformation governance board had recently been created. According to Secretary Mayorkas, quote, "The goal is to bring the resources of DHS together to address this threat," adding that the department is focused on the spread of disinformation in minority communities. Okay, let's dissect that a bit. First of all, the Department of Homeland Security was forming a so-called disinformation board. That's not the CIA, the NSA, or any other intel agency whose mission involves countering threats from abroad. This is the Department of Homeland Security, meaning ostensibly that they would have been monitoring the communications, opinions, and reporting of domestic citizens and businesses right here in the United States. When did that become okay? Short answer, it's not. This was designed to become a policy-making legal arm of the Department of Homeland Security, likely with a whole staff of wonks and lawyers. We're told not what their authority would be. I mean, would they have the power of search and seizure? Would they have had the power of detainment or just to write white papers and submit them to federal agencies? Look, I'll be honest with you. I don't want these people anywhere near my First Amendment rights to freedom of speech. It is not the role of government to determine truth and to censor thought. It was only the outcry of conservatives that got the Orwellian effort called the Disinformation Governance Board shut down before it really got off the ground. But the mere fact that they were trying to do it ought to give you pause. And then there's Great Britain, our greatest ally. That nation is as much like us, sort of, with hot tea. But the British government recently passed legislation that makes it a hate crime to post, repost, or even discuss topics that it considers insightful or designed to malign or cause unrest. But who gets to decide? Who gets to say this word is okay, but that word is not? The government. And they have already, by their own admission, begun scouring social media and dedicating law enforcement assets to arresting people from their homes for daring to say something deemed by the government to be unacceptable. And riots are starting now because of it all. In Orwell's 1984, he had the concept of newspeak. Newspeak. It was the official language of the dystopian government. It was the acceptable words and phrases designed to promote what Big Brother called ingsoc, and ingsoc was the special newspeak word for English socialism. Newspeak had A, B, and C categories in that book of vocabulary that were acceptable, designed to promote ingsoc. The A vocabulary was basic words for life, but they were somewhat dumbed down because, you know, no thinking allowed. The B vocabulary was politically motivated, and it created new ways of identifying your approved behavior by combining nouns and verbs. Things like an approved person was called a good thinker. A C vocabulary was scientific, sort of, because science was actually subordinated to the agenda of the government. In the book 1984, all of old speak literature was translated into new speak, which ensured that it lost all of its old meaning and that only the goals of Big Brother could be promoted because new speak did not allow opposing thought. In 1984, history was rewritten because of new speak, but fragments of the literature of the past survived here and there, sort of imperfectly censored, and as long as one held on to its knowledge of what old speak was, it was still possible to read them. Look, that was a novel, 1984. But let me ask you this. Is it true, though, that even today, in the free world, the Western world, America, Great Britain, is it true that there are those who wish to confuse the public discourse right now? Here in life? Real life? Or to skew or to sway public opinion by offering half-truths and lies? Yes, there certainly are. Big Tech has done it, the government has done it, and we know now, too, that Big Tech and the government even colluded to do it together. And listen, the government is not well-suited to set itself up as the harbinger of truth, not by a bit, not by a stretch, not for a single minute. Attempting to monitor the situation or the nation from within and govern and regulate and perhaps enforce the concepts that Big Brother may have deemed in their ivory tower wisdom to be truth that is allowed versus truth that is not allowed, well, that's where truth goes to die. And freedom of speech becomes a narrative that is then relegated to those dusty halls of an old school library, where only old speak can be found in the books. It's bureaucratic nightmares like this that caused Ronald Reagan to say once, quote, "Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free." So God bless England. God bless America. Let's watch out for that newspeak. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, it's crazy to watch. And, you know, I'm so proud that we got that thing shut down with the Department of Homeland Security a couple years ago. But watch England right now. And by the way, you're probably only going to find it on Twitter. Unless you go to a news source that has it, you're going to have to go to Twitter to find something happening about England's censorship and the riots going on right now. It's amazing to watch. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.